explaining the book of Galatians. Christ is the substance of the scriptures. You can read the Bible and not read the word. But a proper reading of the Bible is to read the word. The word is not the Bible. The Bible is not the word. The Bible is a written document. John 1:1, did not say in the beginning was the Bible. The Bible was with God, and God was the Bible. It says in the beginning was the word. The word, that is, the word preceded the Bible. I say that again. The word preceded what? What came first, the Bible or the word? All right. The Bible was written for the word. The Bible was written for the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word is a person. Our study of the word brings forth the word. Hallelujah. That's proper Bible study. So when we look at the book of Galatians, the substance of the writing. Now, don't forget that some of the books that, as we're going to see now, were written to correct certain things, some were written to address certain issues. But what addresses the issues? What corrects the issues is the person of Christ in the scriptures. It's not a book of do's and don'ts. It's not a book of historical facts. It's a revelation of a person. Alright. So, last week, I stopped at something and I discovered some of you didn't get it. So, I want to re-explain that today. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 2. Sorry, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, this lets you know that the calling of God has nothing to do with an ordination by man. You don't ordain ministry gifts. You don't ordain ministry gifts. You don't ordain an apostle to the ministry. You don't even ordain a pastor. You can ordain an elder in the assembly. You can ordain a bishop. But you cannot ordain a pastor. A pastor is the one that ordains bishops and elders in the assembly. You cannot ordain a pastor. A pastor is a gift given by Jesus. The Bible says, all of one of us has the measure of the gift of Christ. For the Bible says, he ascended up on high, let captive the captive, verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave gifts unto men. The same one, verse 9, that ascended, first of all, descended the lower parts of the earth, and he ascended, that he might fill up all things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and he gave gifts unto men. It says in verse 11, he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So you don't ordain those people. They are given by Jesus. We only know them. That's what happens to us. Paul was not ordained by anybody. He was known. He was known. The apostolic calling on Paul was discovered. You don't ordain apostles. You don't ordain pastors. So it's not of men. It's not, there was not a call. People believe that you're a minister when everybody agrees. Some people just agree with it. Yes, we agree that this man is a man of God. That's the wrong way to have a calling. It's not of men, not by the will of men. Because it left to certain people in the early church, they wouldn't have agreed to the fact that Paul was an apostle of God. I'm talking about Christians. And all the brethren which were with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Unto the churches of Galatia. Hallelujah. So churches, I said that last week, that there's so many churches. And some people have a problem with a church having churches. But this is Paul, an apostle, had founded churches, and he wrote a letter to churches. You see, you can criticize anything. You can even criticize Jesus. Because critics really are not leaders. Critics do not add to us. Critics have nothing to offer. When you see a man set up his ministry to criticize others, it's because he has no job. Secondly, he has a complex. He's competitive. He cannot just find out why some other people are succeeding and he's not. That's why most critics, when they give them, in the secular world, when they give them government posts, they change. Showing you that critics are not leaders. So, Paul talked about the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Notice that. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Last week I said, there is a difference between the world and the earth. Now, the Bible, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. The Old Testament, which what we call the Old Testament, from Genesis down to Malachi, was written in Hebrew. Okay? Now, when you begin from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John down to Revelation, was written in Greek. Now, oftentimes, when you want to translate from one language medium to another language medium, it depends on the ability of this. For instance, if I want to translate from French to English, okay? That's even more modern, really. French to English. Now, if there are certain words we use in the French world, I must look at the synonym of that word in the English world. Now, if the English world cannot take that word, I will look for something that is close to describe it. So oftentimes when you are translating from one medium of language to another, many times you don't get the perfect use of the words. For instance, love. The Bible talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. But the same scripture now tells you in 1 John 5:2 that love not the world. Then you wonder, what are you talking about? God just loved the world. You see, so when it says, for God so loved the world, it was referring to the people in that world, those that live in the world. When it says, love not the world, it was referring to the activities of the things that happen in the earth. But you see the same word, love not the world, God loved the world. So, in translating from one medium of language to another, certain words are not given the exact meaning. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying. Are you getting this at all? Yeah. So, you may not see the exact meaning. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible says, let this man be in you as he was in Christ, who, though being in the form of God, that's King James, thought it not robbery. I mean, what is he talking about? Thought it not robbery. And if you look at the originals, what he was saying was, he did not hold on to. He did not hold on to his position as God, but found himself in the form of a servant, laying aside all his privileges. So it will take proper study of the word of God to know the difference. Now, let me say this. When we talk like this, oftentimes people believe that the real study of the word of God is when you read Greek and Hebrew and all those stuff. It's not true. It's not true. I used to be a very ardent student of Greek. I remember several years ago, up to 15, 16 years ago, I used to write letters in Greek. Right? I used to have people, we used to talk in Greek language. But that didn't mean that we understood the word of God. I remember a friend of mine who we used to call the Apostle of Greek because he was a Greek. Yoruba Greek. There was a day I was teaching in one Bible study. That should be 97. And he knew Greek more than all of us did. He knew the originals. He knew the tenses, the synonyms, the antonyms and all that. So I began to explain a scripture. Then he looked at me. He said, do you know the meaning of that word you used? I said, I don't know it. He said, but you got the exact usage that it will take somebody who is close to the originals to explain what you explain. I said, well, I study my Bible in the Holy Ghost. You can read it in Greek and Hebrew and not find out, because the Holy Spirit doesn't speak Greek. It doesn't speak Hebrew. Amen. It speaks Christ. Alright? So, don't think that when you know the Greek and the Hebrew, then you know what is in the Bible. No. So when you get to Greece, what's going to happen? So it has nothing to do with the language, but in our study, it helps us also. The Spirit of God points us to go into certain areas to understand the word and the usages of those words. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you with me? Alright. So he uses the word, he delivered us from this present world. That word is the Greek word anion. There are two words used for world. There's cosmos. Cosmos means the inhabited earth. That is in this room now, this auditorium. Cosmos refers to the chairs. Cosmos refers to the walls. The fan is blowing. The AC is on. The mics are working. That's cosmos. That's cosmos, the inhabited earth, where we stay. Now, the other word, anion, refers to the activities that happen within a time. The activities. Now, are you with me here? Are you with me? Okay. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the earth, and in verse 26 to 28, he created man. Man was to function in the earth. Did you observe that there was no activity in the earth until man was created? How many of you observed that? So man was to be the god of the activities. That's why God gave him dominion over all the things that he had created. Man would determine the activities on the earth. So man was, in that sense, the god of this world. He was to dictate the activities. Now, man, God owned the earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God created the chairs. God created what we can see. But God is not the one who created the activities. He gave man that dominion to create the activities. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you get that? So man, within the sphere of his authority, gave that dominion to Satan. So Satan became what? The god of what? Of what? Is it the god of the earth? But the god of what? The world. The activities. Sin, the Bible says, entered into the world. Romans 5:12. And death by sin. And death reigned upon all. For that all had sinned. That was the devil. He reigned. He became the god of this world. Now, when Jesus was praying, he says, they are not of this world. He wasn't referring to the earth. Take them not out of this world, but keep them from evil, from the evil one. Because the evil one, that's John 17. I think that should be verse 11 down to 16. The evil one is the one that dictates the affairs. But when we got born again and received eternal life, the Bible tells us, whatsoever is born of God has what? Overcome the world. Not the earth, the activities. 1 John 5:4. He has overcome the world. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to the activities. Hallelujah. Let me see if you got that clear. Is that clear to you now? Is it clear? So, where it says, it delivered us from this present evil age. It was referring to the dominion of Satan, not the earth. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are delivered from this world. That in this world, you will have tribulations and trials. Not in Christ, John 16:33. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. See, I'm delivered. Come on, say that better. I'm delivered from this world. We are not of this world. That's why we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we have been delivered from this present world. Look at Hebrews 11. Let me show you something else. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Notice that. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. The word worlds there is not the earth. It is the same word, aneon, the activities. The things that happened did not happen but by the word of God. So he begins to tell you the things that happened. It began from Abel, it went to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They went to Joseph, from Joseph, it went to Moses, from Moses, then David, then Barak. He began to speak to you about Gideon and all them, telling you that those things that happened were framed by the word of God. So that means within this world, we have our own world. Our world is dictated by the word. So on the earth today, there are two races of people in two different worlds. Alright? There are those who are not children of God. Their minds are blinded by the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. They are not in the kingdom of God. Now, there are those who have been delivered from that world, yet exist around that world. We are not out of this world. In this world, we have tribulations and trials. So, those are Christians. So, in Christ, we have the best of two worlds. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, yet we have been tried and persecuted by that same kingdom. And we are in the kingdom of light. And we reign through Christ in righteousness. Romans 5:17. So, it does not mean that we will not see tribulations and trials. The joy of it is that we have victory. We win. Praise God. Whatever is born of God has overcome the world. That's the best of two worlds. I taught that years back. Kind of meaning the best of two worlds. The best of two worlds. That was sometime 98. The best of two worlds. Praise the Lord. So the worlds were framed by the word. That's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the activities of faith were framed by the word of God. So Paul, get back to Galatians, said that we have been delivered from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. What is the will of God? Christ Jesus is the will of God. To whom be glory forever and ever. Now look at verse 6, and that's what we're going to say today. I marvel, and you see, it's understandable. I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Now, Paul had preached the gospel to this church, the church in Galatia, which referred to many churches in Asia, really. And he had established them on the word of grace. He had spoken to them the word. But along the line, and this happens a lot to Christians, they don't continue in the word. So Paul had to go to other places, you know, to preach. And certain people now came to those churches and brought some, nothing new really, but then brought certain things to add to what Paul had preached. Maybe you have heard it before. Some say, well, I've heard people say that, well, this pastor, his own message is holiness. That pastor's message is faith. This one is prosperity. That one is the Holy Spirit. This one is redemption. The other one is rapture. This other one is second coming. The other one is third coming. You see, it's all a function of ignorance. Nobody, mark my words, I've said this for many years, nobody was given a special message different from the gospel. Last week, remember, we looked at Paul called an apostle of the Gentiles. Can you still remember that? Now, how many of you saw it last week that there was no special message for the Jew and the Gentile? About the Jew and the Gentile. You might have been led to certain people to preach to them, okay? You might have been led to go to certain places to preach to them, but you are not led to preach a different message. The message remains the same. Nothing changes. You know, because, you know, when you're through some books, just come, well, I preach on, I emphasize holiness, I emphasize faith, and I know. Get a library. We have a library that's very rich. In the next couple of months, we're going to get all the old tapes back. There's no subject relevant in the scriptures that we have not taught exhaustively. None. There's none. You know, on the weekend, some folks wondered what we're going to share at the marriage seminar, because they have been to many marriage seminars. They know what they say there. And they just heard that, well, we just preached from the scriptures and then we went as practical as we should on the sort of marriage. We left it like that. And in the marriage seminar, we still ministered to the sick, praise God. We sang in tongues. We prayed in the Holy Ghost. We had the Word of God. You know, we didn't make a mountain out of a molehill. And that was the Word. Okay? So, well, what about finances? We have set subjects of finance. What about faith? We have it. What about holiness? We have a series on holiness. What about righteousness? We have it. What about discipline, Christian discipline, church? We have it. What about the rapture? We don't have that one. Praise God. Because that's not the gospel of Christ. What about evangelism? We have that one. What about prayer? We have prayer. We have over 100 sessions on prayer. What about gifts of the Spirit? We have over 150 of that one. Well, what about nothing else? What about healing and health? We'll get our tapes for over 12 years just there. What about Satan? Well, in the light of Christ, yes, we have series on Satan. What about the woman in ministry? We have that one thought. What about worship? We have that one. What about praise? We have that one. What about... So, what's your message, sir? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus is the message. Okay? We have that one. What about blessings? We have that one. What about Christian suffering? Hi, we have that one. We have one, why bad things happen to good Christians. Hallelujah. So, listen to me. When you are in a church, and you are being taught the word of God, stay there. Some folks will not know anything because they are always jumping around. Some people have been in this church now for 1 year or more, and the message I've just mentioned, they are not aware. You know why? Because they are not serious. You should ask, sir, do you have subjects on this area? There's none you will look for in our library that is not there. But just like Paul, he said, I marvel that you are soon to be removed. So soon. To be removed. We have people like that. They travel abroad for 3 months. They have another spirit straight. Some will go to church and then they have to go do their masters in the north or in the east or go for NYSC. They will come back looking different spiritually, naturally, and emotionally. So soon. Paul said, I marvel. Sincerely, I marvel too. You know why? Babies like new things. They like to hear something new. I was pastoring the church years ago, and it wasn't my church. The one I founded. So I had to pastor for some. I've done a lot of auxiliary pastor over the years. People start a church, they can't go on, and I help them pastor and stabilize the church. So in this church, I began to teach week in, week out. And then the founder of the church said, "Pastor Shekou, I like your teaching and all that. But you see, I love how you talk about what Jesus did for us from the cross to the throne and beautiful things. But some people have other messages now. It's the prophetic dimension to Christianity." He said, "Let's have..." Praise the Lord. He's a matured man, but he's not a matured Christian. He has been in the faith for, at that period, 2003, for 23 years. But he was not a mature Christian. Years back, I preached at a conference. It was a conference of a church like that. So I was to be the key speaker, the keynote speaker. I was supposed to be the opening speaker. So they brought certain preachers from Europe and from South America. One of them was from Brazil. So we, as I preached, the theme of the meeting was the glory of this latter house. So they thought what was on their mind when they picked that theme was that they were moving from one level of ministry to a greater level of ministry. Okay? So they were getting bigger as a church. So they said the glory of this latter house. So they have to come and say, "Hallelujah, your tomorrow is better than your yesterday. Oh, glory. Let me tell you something. Joseph was a slave. Now he's a king." Oh, was a king. Okay, sorry, he's king's deputy. "Now, Jesus was a boy. Now he's God." You know, I just went to the scripture and then explained to them that the glory of this latter house is Christ in you. That the former house was not Christ. The former house was a shadow. The latter house is a temple of God. And I explained that from the scripture. So all them invited preachers began to check their notes. Eh? My God. The invited speaker, it was two services, so I preached the first service, I was supposed to preach the second service. So he came to me and said, "Wow, I love the revelation that you gave." He said, "It's obvious that you are a teacher of the word of God." "I am an evangelist." He said, "We teach, you teach, we demonstrate the power of God." I said, "Okay." So he waited for the second service because it was a conference. So I began to preach the second service. So I preached what I taught. And I put it to demonstration. And then folks were here, and we had the power of God moving the service. So he came up and said, "I think you are an evangelist and teacher." Praise the Lord. He was confused. Many folks are confused about me too. Some think I'm whatever. But I just have no gift yet. I'm trying to find my gift. Praise the Lord. I'll find it when I'm 90. Then I'll tell you who I am. Praise the Lord. Maybe like Peter would say, I'm an elder. Amen. Okay, so sometimes people are like that. They think they need different shades of messages. Say, I want different variety of message. You know, say there are variety of message. You are being removed from the world. Say you are so moved from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Unto another gospel. The word soon to be removed is a word in the Greek that means to be making movement gradually away from something. And oftentimes when you hear the word of God after a while, at the first instance when you're a spiritual babe, you're excited, pa. Wow. They tell you are delivered of God. Uh-huh. You have eternal life. Uh-huh. You can speak in tongues because the Holy Ghost is in you. Wow. You can move the power of God. Yeah. Oh, you're hearing it for the first time. So you're saying glory to God. That's the truth. So I'm a son of God. Yeah. And you're happy. But you see, just like children, after a year or two, you start getting bored of hearing the same thing again and again. That's why some of us change our names. They're calling you, Yemi, just got bored. I like Charles. Call me Charles. So by the time you're old, some people know you as Yemi, some people know you as Charles, because you just want something new. So, children are just like that.
Yes. Ah.
So when he's just on his television to somebody and the guy says, I need your seed. I mean, he just tunes with you, say, your seed is what God needs to meet your need. Yes. So if you don't give to God, God won't give to you. Say, hey, pastor has not been saying this. Ah, thank you, Jesus. That's what Paul was complaining about. And God says, you know, you've been taught the word of God that himself took your infirmities. You've been taught the word of God that by sharp you're healed. So he says, you that are there now, you have stomach problem or stomach ulcer. Go to your kitchen. Take a bottle of fried oil or frying oil. Drink it. Confessing the word. Whoop. You go to the kitchen. So you get the fine pan. See, now lift your left leg. Put it in your mouth. Now call the name of Jesus 7 times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, that's what he's saying. Say, pastor has not been seeing this dimension. In a prophetic dimension. You are soon to be removed. So Paul was so grieved that he said to them, oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Galatians 3 and 1. In chapter 4, verse 19, he says, my little children of whom I travail at birth. Again. Nothing pains a pastor than to go over it again. Paul had labored in the word, just like we do here. Nothing pains a pastor. There was a brother like that years ago. We had taught him the word of God. He had even preached it to others. But he now had a challenge in one area of his life. Financial, usually. Then his sister had a health problem. So, we were telling him that, brother, the word of God, just stay on the word. Just stay on the word. Just stay on God's word. Just believe God's word. Just have, you know, don't believe the report of the senses. And you know, he knew the scriptures. He said, I am, brother. I'm holding on. So one day, he didn't know I was coming. I just came into his room. It was in UI then. So I saw a book. Ibn Barnabas. I saw a book with him. He said, how to conquer ancestral spirits. He wasn't looking at it. He was reading it. I looked on his table. I saw another one. I looked around and said, it is finished. He said, no, I'm just looking at it. I'm just, you know, sometimes you just have a general idea of what everybody is saying. You know, like GNS Christian, you just want to have a general idea of every faculty. So I say, no, GNS is what we use, GES is what some of you did. It was the same thing. So I say, it's sad. Years later, I met him on the streets in Lagos. We had all finished from school years later. So I saw him going to church in the morning. He had joined that church. How are you, brother? So-and-so? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, what are you up to? I said, he said, so he was getting both up church. I said, great, where? He said, he mentioned the church. So-and-so. Headquarters. What? I'm not fighting you. He had backslidden. A dog had returned to his vomit. He had backslidden. Who you are so soon to be removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The word another gospel is the Greek word heteros. It means something that looks like it, but it's a different kind. It's a different kind. It's a different kind. This is the reason for the book of Galatians. It's a different kind. To be removed from the gospel. Now look at what he called the gospel. He calls the gospel The grace of Christ. The grace of Christ. Look at verse 7. Which is not the same, that's the word another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. We don't need to say this, but we should. Maybe we should anyway. That there is a perversion of the gospel of Christ out there. One of our pastors was telling me how they were sharing an elderly man heard them preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they said to them that baptism by water is not necessary for any Christian. And that baptism, and then the man came up and said, well, how? Jesus sent the disciples to baptize. And they said, wait. He did not. He sent them to preach. And in that preaching, when people believe, they are baptized. Huh? You never heard it before. So, they went into the scriptures with the man. He saw it. John baptized in water. Jesus with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts the world of sin so that they believe the gospel. He seen this. I agree that there is the baptism. That you don't need baptism to be a Christian. But if you're a Christian, if you don't baptize in water, you cannot be a complete Christian. Now that looks neat. He had already told you that you don't need baptism to be called a Christian. But he now says you need baptism to be confirmed. You know, he has told a lie in a heavier way. That's the perversion of it. They perverted. They had something to it. They recognize what is the grace of Christ. They say, they will say, yeah, it's the truth. You know, but I went for a conference years ago. I went to preach, and they said the theme was life. They said true life or something. It was for Christian leaders and workers. So I just taught them eternal life. That eternal life is in Christ, and every one of God's children is a child of God because he has eternal life. And then, what amazed them was that the previous night I ministered to the sick, and everybody likes the miracles. They like the miracles. Oh, wow. So next morning we expect them to teach. I taught them. So the leader came to me. But when I was leaving the place, you know, they didn't see me off. And I didn't have a car, so it was worse. You know, when you have a car, you go into your car and you say, bye-bye. But when you have to walk long distance to take a bike, you know, that's going to take you a lot. And they say, from the door, bye-bye. Just go. So they say, sorry. And you know, these sanctimonious will say, sir. They don't like you. They say, sir. It is well, sir. Thank you for the grace of God. And then he brought out some notes in an envelope. They say, this is for you. So they just squeezed it into my hands. And I said, okay. Bye-bye. So the man came to see me. Said, well, what you said was true. Because we checked it. I said, but do you think that's what we need now? I said, I don't get it. Yeah. All these things you are preaching will just be Christians free. You'll be living anyhow. Are you not living anyhow? If you can sustain your life with such lies for a long time, have you not been living anyhow? Has God intervened? Now he's trying to intervene. He said, no. He's heresy. I said, what is heresy? People just say, heresy. What's heresy? They cannot tell us what heresy is. Heresy is any doctrine that we don't believe in our church. So they pervert it. They will acknowledge it. Do you know some Christians, some pastors will acknowledge that tongues is of God, but it's not for everybody. That's perversion. They will agree that healing is of God, but it's not for everybody. That's a perversion. See, they will acknowledge it. It's another gospel. They will acknowledge it. But it's not for everybody. They say, well, yes, I know. Somebody told me, said, I know Christ did everything for us. I agree. But what? But then, we have to play our part. I said, what is your part? He said, yes.
We have to hold on to the end. I say, hold what? You couldn't explain. Say, I don't know, sir, but this revelation you have is dangerous. So they pervert the gospel. Now, listen to me. Paul was very furious. If you look at the tone of the word, when we go on, you see there's a tone in Galatians that he did not use in any other material. The closest was Romans. And history has it that he wrote it about the same time. The tone there was rebuke in nature. But you know the difference between Paul's rebuke and many of the rebukes we see on television today? Paul's rebuke was scriptural. It had an exegesis. It had a scriptural explanation of the truth. If you come up and tell us what a lie is, and you refuse to point us to the truth, you have done worse. It was exegetical. He explained from the scripture. He laid it intelligently. Why that was a false gospel. And not, didn't just stop there. He reintroduced them to the true gospel of Christ. And how to walk in the benefits there. Are you still there? Are you still there? Now look at this. This boldness. That will pervert the gospel of Christ. Perversion means to twist it. To add to it. To add to it. Those that preach, for instance, that women have to cover their heads to church, they are adding to the gospel. Those that talk about trousers, they are adding to the gospel because that's not the gospel. I told someone years back in the corridor, I said, it's the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of clothes. Now look at Paul. Notice what he says. He said, that trouble you. Notice the words he uses. That trouble you. But you know, oftentimes the baby Christian doesn't know they are troubling him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know they're troubling. That's why, listen to me now. You've got to be well established. I was told this in, listen carefully to this. This is a bit sensitive information, and I'll give it to you anyway because it's necessary for you to hear. Now, there is this movement in the church world, in the world generally, that very close to the Christian faith, but they are not Christians. And they preach from the Bible. They say a lot of things. I've met a few of them who are informed in that religion. I won't mention the name yet, but when I have to, I will. Now, they preach swell. They tell you a lot of things. But when you listen close to them, after a while, they will now bring out the real theme upon which that religion was built. Okay? They acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. They do all that. They acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah and all that. In inverted commas. They did it so successfully that certain prominent evangelists in the world, in the church world, actually held meetings with them and called them brethren. It took a while for such evangelists, known men that you and I know, to say, wow, not even because of the doctrine, but because of their practices, to think that maybe they are not Christians. So I concluded, those men of God, with all respect, are really not matured in the word. With all respect. Because it doesn't take you long if you are well established in the word. That is why when you start ministry, or you are doing the work of ministry without knowing the word of God, is dangerous. Because it's easy for you to lead people astray. And people sometimes think that having large crowds is a proof of good ministry. No doubt about that. God wants us to have large crowds to influence how other preachers to 7 million, 10 million, 20 people, 20 million people, then preach to 10,000 people. But the truth of the matter is that crowd is not a proof of the works of the word. No. It's not a proof. So they just got carried away. And I couldn't get carried away because I had read my Bible well. Then to start getting that in your head. So the perversion of the gospel
is not done by Muslims. It's not done by cultists. It's done in the church. You get that? It's not done. Don't think that you get to know the perversion by going to a mosque. No, 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 no. It's not done by such people because they never had the gospel anyway. It's done by those who have received the gospel. Look at verse 8. And though we or an angel from heaven, look at this. This is boldness. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which were preached unto you, let him be accursed. Strong words. The word accursed there means let him fail. Look at this. It says, even if an angel from heaven or we. So the gospel of Christ supersedes personalities. Today is attached to personalities. I'm telling you. It's attached to personalities. When I was in university, was it then or after? There was this story about maybe some people, God had revealed to certain people that a percentage of the church in Nigeria will make heaven, you know. And you know, somehow when that news got out, everybody was fidgeting. They were fidgeting. And I was around some of my friends and I laughed. I said, guys are just a disgrace. How would you believe that? He's so and so person that said it. I said, so what? I said, it's a proof that it doesn't read his Bible. He said, eh? You said that? I said, yeah. With all respect. It's a proof that he doesn't read his Bible. He has not been reading his Bible. You can get very busy as a man of God and not read your Bible. If he has been reading his Bible, the Bible says to judge all things and hold fast to that which is good. Not every spirit is of God, the Bible says. Test every spirit. How do you test? You test it in the scriptures. Say, yes, if he hasn't read this Bible, he would have tested it. He would say, everybody was shaking and fidgeting. So the fact that, you know, you are a preacher, I can, look at, as I am now, I can stop reading my Bible. And I'll give myself the sense knowledge. It happens to anybody. So Paul is saying, whether even if we come back, and give you revised standard version. He said, let us be accursed. Years ago, I went on the pulpit and I said this thing. You know, we were a group of ministers who were traveling from coast to coast preaching the gospel years back, many years ago. And I went on the pulpit, I taught in a seminar, and I said, if I come back and preach anything different from this that I've given to you, I said, let me be accursed in my generation. Some of those who were on the ministry team, my friend, did not know the depth of my commitment to what I said. So one of them said, yes, I say this too. Let me be accursed. You know, it doesn't come by enjoying. It comes by conviction. That was years ago. Now, years later, one of us, not just one, two, not just two, three, they have been found preaching the same things that we said we mustn't be found preaching. The difference is conviction. Paul said, if I come back and tell you, you see, if you don't wash your feet, you're not a Christian. If you don't drink a bottle of oil, you're not born again. If I come back and say, well, you see, you need a second work of grace. There's a sanctification process. If you're not sanctified, you can't make heaven. Let me be accursed. Because I will be lying to you. No matter what I'm trying to solve, I mustn't preach such rubbish. It's called baloney. Nonsense. Uneatable diet. Paul says, whether an angel, you know people like angels from heaven? You know that? An angel came from heaven. And he showed me the Bible.
Are you Muhammad?
So an angel came and sat me down.
There was a lady then in our fellowship years ago. 94.
She had a vision. A vision. And that vision, someone appeared to her like Jesus. And said words to her. Now when she said that, I could see clearly it wasn't Jesus. I didn't have to be. So like, you were not there. How did you know? But I'm in the Word. I should know. Brother Hagin has told us the story of a fellow who appeared to another guy like that. Who appeared as Jesus and said, I put this sickness on you. And the guy believed it because it was a vision. I believe in vision. I believe in the of God's power. I believe in divinely granted appearance. But they must be tested and proven in the Word. I told the lady, it took me 3 months to take her through the basics of the Word for her to know herself. I didn't tell her. She just said, oh, that means that vision was not of God. So whether an angel from heaven should come, so let him be accursed. As we have said before, verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now observe something. Paul calls the gospel the grace of who? The grace of who? The grace of Christ. So grace is not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. It's not a special revelation. No. Grace is the message of Jesus Christ. Grace is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace is not a special teaching. The Bible is divided into two portions of history. The law and grace. Moses and Christ. John 1:17. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Grace and truth came by Jesus. John 1:17. So grace is not a special teaching. Grace is the revelation of Jesus. The law is man's approach to God. Grace is God's approach to man. That's why grace is the word of God. Grace is a person. Titus 2:11. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. The grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So grace refers to the revelation of Jesus. Who is, what he has done, and what he is doing today in us. Grace is not another teaching. Grace is the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of grace. Acts 20:32. The word of his grace that is able to build you up and grant you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So you and I must read our Bibles in the light of God's grace through Jesus. Else is either you are, listen to me now, look at here, look at guys, is either you are studying the Bible from the point of the law or from the point of grace. There's no dividing line. Is either you're studying your Bible from the point of the law of Moses, or from the point of grace. And whenever you find out you need to do something to get to God, that's the point of the law. Whenever you find out that there's something you need to do to be accepted with God besides what Jesus has done, that's from the point of the law. You have to pray, fast, do penance, you know, cry and all that, and then obey certain things and certain laws and ceremonies, that's the point of the law. Whenever you look at it from the point that Jesus has accomplished all, I'm a recipient of what he has done. That's the point of grace. That's the gospel. To go into all the world and preach the gospel unto all creatures. To every creature. He that does what? Believes. So, what do I need to do to what is done? Receive it. I believe it. The law doesn't teach to believe. The law teaches to perform. Grace says to receive. That's the difference. So you can preach from the point of the law, or you can preach from the point of grace. So it depends on you. That is what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. So the essence and theme of this book is to get our focus back on the grace of Christ. So he tells you, it's irrespective of the messenger, irrespective of the medium, irrespective of how the messenger came. You know, it's very easy when somebody comes around and tells you a lovely story. You know, hey, look at me here. I just died. I rose up from the dead. And when I was dead, this and this happened. And I saw this. You know, so now you're easily carried away. You know, years ago, in our church in Ibadan, then, when I was pastoring in Ibadan some 11 years ago, I taught them something on being led of the Spirit. And I said to them that no matter what spectacular thing you hear or see, always judge it by the Word. That the Word comes first. The Word is what reveals or separates things for us. And everybody said, yeah, yeah. Everybody was happy. Yeah, that's the Bible. So thank you, sir. The next week, the same midweek service, I now came up to service. I didn't let them know. I told a friend of mine what I was going to do. He said, you must be a criminal. I said, I'm going to do something in church today. I want to test whether they heard what I said last week. So, in that church, I usually used to come through the back. There was an office behind, so I'll change. Then wear the lavalier, then hold the mic, then come inside. So that day, I didn't do that. Then the technical stand was behind the backdrop. So when I got to the technical stand, they said, Mike, I said, the mic here, I said, no, give me the. He was wondering what was happening. So my face was straight. When they were leading worship, I said, praise the Lord. The keyboard is played for me. I said, Zeus, come here. I said, the Spirit of God. So I began to tell them lovely things. All the people, and even the leaders. So I said, I told them something very silly. So they all knelt down. So my wife was there. They knelt down. So when they were closing their eyes, I just went behind, changed the mic. I said, get up, one of you. You are soon to be removed. Even if we come back, praise God, and preach another gospel unto you, you have already related personalities above the truth of the word. Because I came. Because it's the same person that now came. You think that he can be above the law. Hallelujah. Say the word first. Say again the word first. So even if an angel comes from heaven, it doesn't change anything. That's the essence of this letter. Now I'll say a couple of things and then we just close for this service. I believe next week will come in very, very early because I have not yet left the introduction of this book. Now, so the essence is to bring us back. So many times as a pastor, you must bring people back and call their attention to the basics. Many times. So when people travel, they go for 1 year, they come back, and you can see that they already have spiritual kwashoko. They have loaded. They're coming back. So you better get them back to focus. or sometimes just like this happened in Galatia, when Paul left for some time. You know, normal like invited ministers. You know, like, I've been with you for a couple of years. We now bring an invited minister. He now says, I believe that you hold on to that one. That's why I wrote this book. An invited minister came to create trouble. I've had the peril of invited ministers before. One fellow came to our church, but in fellowship with his back. So he got there and he said, Jesus appeared to me in a vision. He said he gave me 3 keys to open heaven. He was my friend. And all the members of our fellowship began to laugh. Said, number 1, tithe. Number 2, worship. Number 3, prayer. So he said, he told me that whenever I go, I carry the glory. He didn't know that they were, he thought they were laughing in the Holy Ghost. So, but they were laughing at him. Because they have been taught that they sit in heaven. And I was not yet gone. I was still around. So the now said, I'm going to count 3. You're going to step into the glory. 1, 2, 3. He now stepped himself alone. Everyone was looking at him. So he got home. And I told him, I said, man of God, sit down. This is your disgrace. You're disgraced. You can only do that where they don't teach them. And do local champion. Here, I have taught my people where they don't step into the glory. They are well taught. I said, go and read your Bible. I had been to his own church a couple of years before. When I went to his own church, I was to teach on prayer. As I began to teach, he was asking me, hi, this is deep. They didn't know anything. So it was, then I taught for 3 days. So the last day, he was supposed to open the session. So he was now studying all night. He was going to open the session for 10 minutes. He was sleeping. I said, Pastor Mika, if I say that, is it correct? I said, anything you say, let me sleep in the name of Jesus. But he was a man of God. He's still a man of God today. We talk on telephone, he has not changed. He still steps into the glory. He's in America. And you see him on the posters in Lagos and they say, so and so and so, USA. So, whether they come from heaven makes no difference. Tell me the word no more. Say it again, the word no more. I have a lot of friends in ministry. We knew ourselves when we were growing up. They didn't used to read the Bible. We knew them. They used to read books. Now today it's even easier. Just go on the internet. Pam, 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 Google. Galatians. But you know the difference. Praise the Lord. So, the essence. See, a pastor must oftentimes bring people back to the truth of the word. Brother Chris told the story of one preacher he brought to his church. And the lady, among other things, just said, I still believe that the women should not wear trousers in the church. And members of his own church said, hey, say pastor now. He's been saying, you're not this sister that we... And he was wondering, Babies like new things. Because they don't, you know, when a baby is playing with your phone, and the phone is ringing, the phone is ringing. Yeah. And you now hear another one that says, and say, Gunguaso. Says, bah! It goes to Gunguaso. That's a baby. But the two are phones, right? Just like the new sound. So you must know that the gospel is what? The grace of Christ. Any other thing besides that is the works of the law. I'll give you a background now, then we run. So Paul now begins from verse 10 to verse 24 to give his credentials. That look, I am not a fly-by-night preacher. I didn't come from the moon. Hallelujah. I'm an apostle of God. It was known in Jerusalem, known in Asia, known in Arabia, known in Damascus. So he begins to give his... You know, some folks believe that some of us just came up from the sky, we're just preaching. No, I'm approaching 20 years in ministry. 20 years. I have preached in virtually every state of this nation. In several other countries. I've pastored over the years. I've had crusades. I've taught messages close to 1,000. So we're not just coming out and just say, yes, we're just zealous. When we left school, we didn't have work to do, so we're just preaching. No, 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 100 times no. I was not even on campus an executive of any church or bishop. I'd been pastoring the church before I entered the university. So Paul begins to, because sometimes it's good for some people to know you. So I was hearing one of our tapes said, well, Pastor, when did you preach this? I said, you were not saved then. Sir? So you were not born again. Sir, why is the same thing we're hearing today? Say, yeah. I'm not a fly by night. I didn't come out from the blues. I didn't go to Bible school to be called of God. I've been a lecturer in Bible school. But I've not been to any. Hallelujah. Paul is in that here. So as a child of God, we must never be removed from the grace of Christ. So it gives us precedence and shows us, next week we're going to see that, how he began to minister and preach to the Gentiles and how his gospel didn't just come by guesswork. And that's very important. To know the history of a preacher. The history of a preacher. Sometimes we listen to people without knowing their history. Got to know the history. I was telling them this during the marriage seminar. That I don't listen to you on marriage until I've heard you on every other subject. I want to know what you have said on every other subject. Because marriage is a carnal thing. So I want to see how you have handled more spiritual matters. So sometimes it's good to know. Do you know the person you're talking about? How long has he been on this message? How are you sure he's not a Google Christian? How are you sure this fellow really understands what he's saying? Check our ministry. We've been like that for at least 15 to 16 years. Praise the Lord. So it's not new. It's not new truths. Paul said, I went back to Jerusalem 14 years after. People thought that Paul was, he went to the wilderness to be trained for 14 years. No, we're going to see all that next week. He was referring to his second trip to Jerusalem. There, at that point, he was already an apostle of God. He didn't become a minister 14 years of Bible training. No. In fact, he began to preach not many months after his conversion. So the number of years you are spending in the faith does not mean now you are ready for ministry. You could spend a number of years hearing rubbish and knowing rubbish and doing rubbish. Hallelujah. So we said this, the grace of Christ is the gospel. It's either you are knowing the Bible from the point of grace or from what? The point of law. Have you learned something? Lift your hands, Lord, heaven, worship God, give me praise.